Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this Thursday, May 19, 2016. This is Peyman Motahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program. I founded Freedom Law School, folks, to help educate and empower average Americans like you on how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. Why? Well, I came from Iran, from a Jewish family, back in the 1970s, where we had no freedoms there, folks. You did not have the freedom of speech over there to criticize the government. We did not have such thing as a First Amendment, jury trial. A lot of the freedoms that we take for granted here, we just don't have it over there. So I came to the land of the free, home of the brave, and I found that America is not as free as it was intended to be or meant to be. I started educating myself about the law and the U.S. Constitution and our rights back in 1992, and now I've been educating Americans and help them live free. And in addition, folks, I also assist those who want to live free, folks. If you need help now, Freedom Law School is available to help you. So go to our website at livefreenow.org and send for 1 year of free freedom law education by email and by U.S. mail. It will be sent to you at no charge. At no charge to you, folks, go to livefreenow.org. You found a very unique source of education, empowerment, and action to live free now at Freedom Law School. Freedom Law School is a source of education and solutions that will work for you. Sign up for our email list, become a fan of Freedom Law School on our Facebook page, and we will be in touch with you. And this conference call, folks, I do every Thursday night, is designed to answer your questions, any freedom questions you have about the IRS, a state income tax agency, any bureaucrat or government agency or agent of any kind that may be harassing you or take away your rights, your freedom, your money. Freedom Law School is here to provide you the education and help you with the solutions that will work and have you live free now. And then at the end of the conference call, I'll always do a class about freedom, law, news that are freedom-oriented that will affect you and America. And tonight, the topic of that will be, I'll be talking about how the week of June 13th in Oakland, California, in the federal court, in practice, myself and a former IRS special agent who is a student of Freedom Law School, we will testify and put the government on trial. How come the IRS and the United States Congress cannot and do not and fail to show the law that requires you and me, average ordinary Americans, to file and pay the income tax? I mean, over 100 million Americans every year do that routine and file these 1040 income tax confession forms because they think there's a law that requires them to do it. Well, where is it? Where is the beef? So I'll talk about that, the government's failure to produce the law that requires you to file a 1040 income tax confession form. But what I'm going to do first is I'm going to see if any of you tonight have a freedom question. By the way, folks, I'd like to suggest every one of you folks seriously consider getting the very first course of Freedom Law School at a minimum. If you go to livefreenow.org to our course packages, you'll see our first course is called Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control Level 1, a course of action for those who are committed to living a free life. So folks, it's there for you folks, education to help you live free. Take advantage of it. The course comes with 90-day, 100% unconditional money-back guarantee. Where else are you going to get that kind of a guarantee? And I will extend the 90 days. Unconditional. You must love it. You must find out that Freedom Law Student course work for you. Help you understand what you want and need to do and what to avoid, folks. So with that, folks, you know, go and get started to live free now. You deserve to live free. You have a right to live free. But you don't have the education to know about the law and your rights. If the IRS comes, contacts you, policeman knocks on your door or stops you, or and a bureaucrat contacts you with a letter, what do you do? What are your rights? What you should not do? These are all questions and more that Freedom Law School makes easy for you to understand, things that were not to you and I in our high school civics class that should have taught to us. So with that, let's go to some of our callers who may have questions. We have a caller right now, call from area code 419, area code, that caller from area code 419. If you have a question, please go ahead and give me your first name only for your privacy, folks. Do not give me your last name on this conference call, only your first name, okay? And then tell me how you heard about Freedom Law School and go ahead and ask your question. So call from area code 419. Do you have a question? Okay. The call from area code 419 does not have a question. We have another caller from area code 619 in San Diego, California, a couple hours south of where I used to live in Southern California. Do you have a question, call from area code 619? Okay. Let's go to our call from area code 504. Do you have a call? Question, call from area code 504. If so, please ask your question now.
Hey, my name is Adrian. This is Anthony.
Hello, I'm sorry. I didn't catch your name. Could you say it clearly again, please? I can barely hear you.
Yes. Hello, this is Anthony. I'm calling about that. I'm trying to get some more information about that that June 13. Is it a court case? Is it something? I'm trying to see if it's something that you know, I can attend. You know, if it's actually a hearing or something like that. That June 13.
Yes, it is. I will, at the end of this conference call, I will announce it, give you more details. I'll give you the court case number, courtroom number, and you can,
right.
And I encourage you all to attend the week of June 13th as much as you can. Come and watch. That's right. It's an open court. Anybody can attend and watch.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I need to know. Let's see what they don't try to postpone it.
No problem. How did you hear about Freedom Law School on this conference call, by the way, Anthony?
Oh, I've been just by looking at some of the, you know, YouTube channel, you know, for a minute now. You know, guys, you know, again, when I'm calling from New Orleans, really, so, you know, I've been kind of following you guys for a minute. You know.
Very good, my friend.
Too, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. All right, then. Let's go to another caller we have, again, from Southern California, from area code 661. They call from area code 661 if you have a question. Please go ahead and give me your first name. How did you hear about Freedom Law School and your question? Okay. Let's go to a caller we have from Northern California, area code 916, close to Oakland, California, where the trial will take place. Do you have a question, the caller from area code 916?
No payment. I don't have a question. I am just listening in.
Very good. Now we have another caller, Caller from Nevada, from area code 702. Do you have a question, caller from area code 702?
Just listening in.
Very good, my friend. We're going to go to our next caller from area code 267. A caller from area code 267. If you have a question, let's see. Looks like I cannot. I guess you have no question at this time. That's fine. Let's go to our caller from area code 516. 516 in the East Coast. If you have a question, please announce yourself now.
Just listening. Thank you very much, Payman.
You're welcome. Let's go to our caller from area code 252. If you have a question, from area code 252, go ahead and ask your question, my friend. All right. Let's go to another caller from area code 319. If you have a question, please announce yourself now.
Yes, this is Dave, and I've got a question in regards to a bankruptcy case that I end up that ended up turning on me, turned vicious on me, in the aspect of started out with Chapter 13, and then the taxing entities put in proof of claims that threw it over the $280,000 threshold that you can be in a Chapter 13, and they turned it, and then they got to. Turned on me, or they got it converted to a Chapter 7, and now they're and in order to contest their proof of claims, then I did an adversarial proceeding, both the state and a federal individual ones. And right now, in regards to the federal one or IRS, the attorney for the IRS had started up, well, the United States, basically, I guess, is who's a defendant, and anyway, then the attorney had started a discovery situation, and that's kind of where I'm at right now, kind of getting up discovery. But I guess my question is can I look to you to maybe be of some assistance here in the aspect of all the maze and all the different things that trying to finagle this thing at it's a bit overwhelming for me, and all in all, you know, I've kind of come to the conclusion that I certainly could use some assistance in this whole matter.
Yes, and the first thing we should do, Dave, is to talk privately, have a one-on-one consultation, because Freedom Law School, we've been assisting individuals to defend their rights from oppressive government and oppressive government agencies like the IRS. So we're here to help you. We can assist you. I already got some ideas about what your situation and strategies. But I would need to look at your paperwork, my friend, so I can guide you a little bit better about, you know, what's happening to you in the first place. And we can both get a better idea of what's happening, some solutions for you.
Yeah. Okay. What do you mean of the paperwork? You mean my initial petition of the – you know, you probably don't need to see all of those documents, do you, in the aspect of –
the adversary proceeding is the main thing.
Yeah.
The adversary proceeding
okay.
with the IRS, I need to see what's been filed in there. That's the biggest thing. And also, whatever that we show you, all your list of your assets and income, because that's what they want to get to. Those are the main two things that I need. As long as we can have that, that will tell me what's going on.
Okay, yeah. The trustee's already been liquidating assets for me, and I've been able to hold off the judge in the aspect that there was a disbursement hearing here the latter part of last year where the trustee was put in a disbursement hearing to be able to disperse the funds, and I told the judge that there's no way that there should be any disbursements going on here until we get these adversarials out of the, you know, heard and adjudicated, and with that then he come to an agreement with me that that's the case, and so that's kind of where we're at right now. So yeah, I'll get the paperwork for this federal, for the IRS adversarial that I got going right now, and then get that to you. Where would I email it to you or something, or what?
No, send that to Freedom Law School. Our address is on our website in Brooksville, Florida, along with 240 cash only for the 1-hour prepaid consultation. Send all by express mail or priority mail, post office. Make sure you have your phone number, phone numbers in there. And also, you know, call, give the tracking number of your package. And then as soon as your package is received, we'll set up a time to go over what you got, David.
Okay. Okay, it can't be handled any quicker than that in the aspect of doing it with, well, you know, by emailing the documents and so forth to you?
You can email the documents, but you can't email the cash, because Fiat Mosque only accepts gold, silver, and cash. So because you can email that, that's what you have to do this way. You can express mail it if you want to, my friend. Express mail it, you know, today, as it depends on where you're located, or tomorrow. As soon as we get it, we'll talk, my friend.
Yeah. And what did you say the amount was?
$240, $240 cash only.
Okay. Then what might I be able to expect for, you know, costs going on after that then, I guess, is what amount to,
because
basically I'm flat broke here right now is my problem. I'm only having to be able to live on my Social Security check and trying to make ends meet every month here because of the fact that everything's going into the trustees, any additional funds that I was having, rents and everything like that, it's all being sucked up by the trustee at this time. And I had no idea that would be the case. Well, it's Chapter 13. They're, you know, the person really a lot of times isn't bothered when they're in Chapter 13. But when it's turned to Chapter 7, now the trustees, you know, sucking it all up.
Well, first let me tell you this about your situation, David, okay? You went to Chapter 13, and with Chapter 13, you can get out of it whatever you want.
Well, that was my understanding, except I didn't. I was going, and then I came onto a website there when I was checking into the possibility of being able to get it dismissed. Yes, like you said, basic kind of like an automatic thing, you know, by doing a it's automatic, it's almost automatic, I guess. But on the other side, and I came onto a website in their California, Central California Bankruptcy Court that said that. You can always get in regards to checking it out, as far as being able to get it dismissed and being concerned about being converted to Chapter 7. And that website said that a person can have that Chapter 13 dismissed as long as it started as a Chapter 13. Now that's on your California Central Bankruptcy Court situation there. And so in that I got fooled. In the aspect that I didn't realize that as soon as I got to turn to Chapter 7, you know, as long as it started out as Chapter 13. Well, I looked at that. Well, that's my case. I started out with a Chapter 13, so even though it gets converted, then I'll be okay. I can still get it dismissed. Well, I ended up finding out that once it got converted, then a friend that I was working with, and I believe you probably know him too, Jim, anyway, he did a search with Westlaw, ability that he had, and with that he ended up discovering the things that after it got turned to Chapter 7, then it's no longer able to be automatically dismissed.
Exactly.
That is kind of a fooling language there, applying
right.
to only to cases that start out of Chapter 7 and get converted to Chapter 13. Well, I didn't realize that you know, ever probably really much ever happened going from Chapter 7 to Chapter 13, but you know, and I didn't realize that was the case, and so I, in the time that I could have probably gotten it dismissed, you know, it was already past the time when we discovered that was the case.
Right. Being short of it, you know, you didn't realize that once you go to Chapter 7, you are locked in. You cannot get out unless and until the trustee agrees to let you out.
Oh, yeah,
if the trustee and the creditors don't agree to let you out, you're locked in. You didn't know that. You know, that this
after,
is a very common thing
after mm-hmm. they raped and pillaged me, they were willing to let me out.
That's right. I don't know, people that went in there, they lost everything they had. So basically Chapter 7 becomes a rape scene where, you know, they get to take everything they got from you. And
mm-hmm.
that's what ends up being. You cannot get out of it either. That's a big mistake. But you can still beat the IRS
and
potentially at the situation.
Dave, listen to me. Go ahead.
But the thing is that because you're stuck in there, but you may be able to beat the IRS anyhow in there. That's a good thing about it. But I need to see your IRS paperwork. Okay, without that, I cannot tell you. And if all I can tell you is you're stuck, give you some tips about how to minimize damage, I'll do that when we talk within that hour, okay? If there's something that I can do for you, then I'll let you know. I'll let you know how much, you know, that would be and how. If I need to refer you to somebody else, I'll let you know about that also. But I need to see what you got going on, my friend, you know, and analyze it. And I give you the best analysis of exactly what you got going on. What are your options? What are your risks? And how much is going to cost you if you do plan A or plan B or plan C? And you choose which is the best way to go forward that will make the best sense for you, Dave. That's what I'll do for you. Because right now, you don't know what's going on exactly, except what you told me, which is good. You actually know that part. You know what to do. What are your options? I will make that very clear for you. What are your options? Where to go from here forward? From here.
Yeah, well, like I said, financially, I'm not in a well shape here. So that's where I run into a problem here.
Well, that might be the case. That might be the case. You know, I helped a friend of mine at no charge at one time. And they're after him, the IRS and the state. Hello.
Let me indicate this. I'll be more than willing to make it up without any problem. Once, you know, if I'm able to get out of this bankruptcy with a dismissal, that's what I want to happen. Is would be to get this thing, or else, like you said, win over the IRS, and so they don't have any repercussions against me, and I get basically all my treasure chest back again, I guess. The only trouble, you know, and I'd had no problem of making any payments. But right now, I'm basically next thing to sitting out in a street corner with a tin cup.
Okay, well, let me ask you, do you have any children?
Well, I've got two boys, yes.
Are they adults?
Well, yes, but they aren't. They're telling me I'm supposed to capitulate. They're telling me I'm supposed to go ahead and sign the filings, sign the 1040 forms under penalty.
You may have to. I tell you what. Yes, you. Let me tell you, Dave. You may have to, and that's what all the options I'll be discussing with you. Option A.
Well,
option
I don't consider
B,
to be a,
option C.
I don't consider
you know,
that to be a viable option at all.
I understand
I'm already into
that.
This thing where I'm at and. And that's like fingernails on a blackboard to me, or even worse.
I understand that. But nonetheless, because it's a legal option, you should know about it and then reject it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm just indicating to you that...
I'm not saying you should do it. I'm just saying that's an option you should be aware of. All the options, you know, cost, risk, benefits... evaluate what to go from there forward. I cannot tell you what to do. You got to decide what to do at the end. But all you want to know is your options. What's the best way to go forward? Okay, and I'm telling you, one of the things I look at your paperwork, I can tell you, you may be able to do is just get rid of most, if not all, these taxes in bankruptcy. You may be able to do that. But it depends on what you've done in the past or not, depends on what the IRS has done or not in the past. Without seeing those things, I cannot tell you, my friend. So,
well, I haven't done much in the past myself with the IRS. Basically, they put liens on my property.
No, stop. Let me give an example. You don't understand what you're saying. You don't understand what I'm saying. I'll give you one example just so you know. Because I cannot spend an hour on your conference call. Okay?
Yeah.
I got to get to other people's questions. So please be mindful of that. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you one example of that, okay? When it comes to the IRS, they have to send you some certain letters by law. If they don't send letters by law, you know, yeah, then guess what? You beat the IRS. You can make the tax go away because the IRS either got to send you certain letters by law that the courts will hold their feet to. So IRS maybe didn't send those letters out to you. I don't know.
And I don't have
any. Let me finish. Okay, I'm trying to help you stop. You don't know what those papers are, okay? And I'm not going to do a classroom for you right now about all this stuff. That's where the level one course, which I talked about, which is 20 hours education on audio and on half a video. Dave, let me finish.
Let me inject this.
I'm going to put you on so you can, okay? So you listen, you cannot talk right now, David, okay? I'm a good listener. When you were talking, I gave you a lot of time to talk, David. and see me dance and tune about your suffrage. I didn't interrupt you much. I'll let you say your piece. Okay, now you need to respect me and trust me and let me say what I want to say without interrupting and take notes. Otherwise, we cannot have a conversation. Okay, so I'm going to say what I want to say to you, and then I'll take you off the mute and you can talk, my friend. Okay, respond. Now, IRS has to take sending these letters. If they don't, and without looking at your files, I cannot make that determination at this point. Okay, if they did send a letter to you or not. In fact, your files may not completely tell me that, but they may. On the other hand, what you don't know is you also have to let the IRS know, generally speaking, what is the address for them to send these letters to. You didn't know about that. All of you on this commerce call, you need to let the IRS know what your address is. If you haven't filed the 1040 income tax confession form, you must, a certified mail, send a letter to the IRS in Washington, D.C. or another office that has been in contact with you, so you get these important letters. Okay, you probably didn't do that, Dave. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe you've been at the same address for the last 20 years, so it's a non-issue. But all this kind of stuff is stuff that I need to ask you. And I need to look at your papers, not just what you tell me. So as much as I know, Dave, I know you want me to help you on this conference call for free, and I do too. I want to help everybody on this conference call for free. Sometimes it's not possible. You don't have a simple thing, my friend. Yeah, but you're in a complete mess. You made a big, huge mistake, which you know, by allowing them to turn your Chapter 13 bankruptcy to Chapter 7. Chapter 13, you can get out of it whenever you want to. Chapter 7, you are a slave. They own you, and you cannot get out of it unless they let you get out, and they don't want to get you out because that's where they get to rape you. The trustee will make money off of you. The trustee's lawyer will make money off of you. So will the creditors. So it's a complex thing. I helped a couple of my friends free of charge. Okay, so I got some experience in this stuff, and I know how the game works. Okay, and I can help you. But I'm telling you, this is not a thing I can help you on this conference call. It's not short. It's not like, you know, something quick and easy. It's just not. So you need to do a one-on-one consultation. If you don't have $240, then you got to capitulate. If you don't have even $240 for 1 hour consultation, you have no choice. Just let them do whatever they want to do. Just ignore everything. Don't bother. Don't bother at all. Go on with your life with your little Social Security check. And live with that, because they're going to take everything else you got. They're going to rape you, sell everything as a cheap, deep, deep discount, and leave you with all your Social Security, whatever you got, and that's it. That's your option A. Not that I like that option, not that I recommend it, but it is an option after all. Just like option C would be to, you know, file tax returns, which is like fingernails on a wall. And I understand that too. But you have other options. You have option B and option D. Okay? And that's why I need to talk to you about those in more detail after seeing your paperwork. The paperwork says a lot about what you can and cannot do. So let me be straight with you. If you have no money to send 240 yourself or your children, can I borrow it or whatever, 240, then you have no money. Nobody can help you, period. Even if you can't even afford that, then just let them take whatever they got. If they want, just go on with your life. Sometimes maybe that's all you can do. If you're in the middle of a jungle as a young woman and there's a 250-pound muscular guy out there taking advantage of you, there's nobody nowhere near you for miles, what are you going to do? What are your options? You have nothing, no gun, no knife to defend yourself. You just, I guess I'm just going to relax, let him get it done, you know, as quickly, hopefully he'll get it done, and go on with the rest of my life. That's your only option. I'm telling you, I can help you, but I need to get with me. You say, why can I get to you? I cannot even yell out to you for one-on-one consultation. Okay, fine. Then you just lay there. Let them get it done hopefully as soon as possible. Just ignore it. Go on with your life. Let them do their own thing. Let them do their own thing and just get over. That's your options, my friend. So I'm going to take you off the mute now and let you tell me, do you understand what I'm telling you, my friend? Because I already told you what your one option is, just do. Let it be and move on with your life. Forget about it all. Because you can't afford any kind of help. Not even $240. So what do you want to do, David? Yes, you're off the mute, my friend. You can talk now.
Okay, very good. I'm sorry that I get a little bit carried away.
Anyway,
what I wanted to inject there as far as letters, I'm very lousy about keeping letters. They may be around here somewhere. I might have received some letters. I don't know. I'm not able to readily put fingers on any IRS letters or anything like that. And I do know that I received some certified mail from them, but that was basically in regards to the lien when they were telling me they put a lien on my property. They did certified letters where I had to go down to the mailbox, go down to the post office to pick it up. But as far as letters and so forth, I don't have much of anything to go on in that regard. I'm very lousy in that regard.
That's why I want to talk to you on the phone as well as the paperwork, because some of those letters you do have, good. Some you don't have, fine. I'll talk to you, get a better idea. The IRS paperwork they've given you in this bankruptcy case, which are obviously recent, you have those. The IRS's own paperwork they have given you, that will give me an idea also. Okay? So we'll do the best with what you got right now, because that's all you got.
Okay.
And
yes,
then from there we can go forward.
Well, yes, they've sent discovery on me, and I got till basically the 6th of June to get that return back to them. And so that is part of the paperwork I can include too.
Okay, absolutely. Send that also.
Okay. Well, I guess that kind of gets. And then as far as address, same address.
Same address, P.O. Box in Brooksville, Florida.
Pardon?
Our address is in Brooksville, Florida, the P.O. Box in Brooksville, Florida. It's on our website. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, David.
I was indicating about my address. And same address for 40 years.
Okay, good. Well, that means that you did your part right. Good. But there's more stuff I got to find out about.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot more we got to discuss. So that's one thing. There's more than that. There's many different factors. It's not just one thing. Okay?
Okay.
All right, David. So let me get to some other people's calls. Okay? There are other people on the call with questions. Let me get to see if I can help them, my friend. Okay?
Okay,
all right,
thank you.
I have a caller. That you're welcome, David. That your number doesn't show up. It just shows you must be using Skype or something like that with a bunch of ones. Been on the call for about 22 minutes. Do you have a question, caller? If so, please announce yourself now. Okay, no. We have another caller from area code 916 where the prefix number, let's see now. Okay, now I think we covered that gentleman from area code 916. We have a gentleman calling from area code 262 area code. They call from area code 262. If you have a question, please announce yourself now. Okay. No question from the caller from area code 262. Let's see. I think we have, let me just double check to see, make sure no one else has any more questions. Here we go. Yes, we have a call from area code 916-247 prefix. Do you have a question, my friend? If so, please announce yourself now.
No payment. I'm just listening in.
Okay. Very good, my friend. All right. Since there's nobody with any more questions at this time, I'm going to cover the subject of this conference call, class education portion. And that is about the United States government. I'm talking about the IRS, and which is the executive branch, and the legislative branch, Congress, will be put on trial in June 13th week in Oakland Federal District Court. If you want to get your pen and paper, I'll give you the exact courtroom, and you are encouraged and welcome to be there at this public trial. So get your pen and paper to write down the information I'm going to give you. And if you can anyway be there, June 13th. We expect to be to get to the stage of getting on the stand and putting the government in practical on trial before a jury of 12 American citizens. That's going to be in the, again, United States District Court in at the address is 1301 Clay Street, C-L-A-Y, Clay Street in Oakland, California, third floor, and the judge is going to be the chief judge, Phyllis J. Hamilton. Chief Judge Phyllis J. Hamilton. And this case is going to be a case the government is actually trying Mr. Richard Grant. They charged him with tax evasion. They say a bunch of stuff. The government claims that he didn't, you know, part of that was he didn't file and pay income tax. Well, he's going to testify that he's looked at this issue and researched the issue and concluded that there is no law requiring Mr. Grant or the average American, like you and me, to file and pay the federal income tax. And he'll testify that he got those, I helped him write letters to his congressmen, senators about this issue. And what I had, the reason I asked him for that, because one of my students, 1997 forward, was a special agent, a gun-carrying special agent with IRS's own criminal investigation division. The guy that the government gives a gun to put you, and the average American, in jail. Yep, one of those guys. He became a student of mine. Because he thought me and people like me who say the income tax is a giant fraud, there is no law requiring people, Americans, to file income tax. He thought we're a bunch of kookies, crazy wackos. But he was open-minded enough to look into it further, and I educated him. I educated this former IRS agent, Mr. Joe Bannister, and he came to the conclusion that, wow, Freedom Law School and people like me who have been saying income tax is a fraud, we are right. It's the government. It's the politicians, the bureaucrats who are in IRS who are lying to the American people because to them it's all about the money. All these congressmen, all these politicians, IRS agents and management, they all, by law, have to take an oath to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, before they can represent you in Congress or work for the government as a politician or a bureaucrat, as an IRS employee. They have to do that. That's their job duty. Number one, to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic too. So if your superior tells you to do something against the Constitution, you're supposed to reject it. Folks, that's the same oath you see every 4 years. A new president takes oath. He goes on the ceremony they have, you know, officially inauguration. He puts his hand on the Bible, left hand on the Bible, right hand up. Looks in the eyes of the U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice, who swears him in. That swearing in is that the President Obama, or President Bush, or President Reagan, or President Clinton, all of them, they take an oath to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. All these guys took that oath. And Mr. Bannister asked him, look, I took that same oath, and I got a problem in that I found out what I'm doing is against that oath. It's against the Constitution and laws of the United States. And I want you to show me where I am wrong. He very humbly, very respectfully asked the IRS commissioner, Commissioner Rosati at the time, to refute the book Joe Banister wrote over 90 pages on the income tax question, how it's a fraud on the American people. IRS never answered him. His book was sent by his boss in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, to the IRS headquarters in Washington, D.C., to the head office of the IRS's Criminal Investigation Division. Folks, that's the head office of the guys with guns that put people in jail, in prison, for taxes. The top dogs that know the law to enforce on people with a gun. They carry guns. They give them guns. Joe Banister carried a gun on him, given by the government. This is no just everybody pay a fair share for the community. He is a gun-carrying agent, folks, given by the government. So they never answered him. And when he said, well, unless you answer me, I have no choice to be faithful to my oath to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution. I cannot do that. I have to leave. I cannot be an agent for you, work for you anymore. And Ira said, fine. We are not going to answer you. If you want to leave, leave. So Joe Banister left the IRS. And then a nonprofit foundation called We the People Foundation for Constitutional Education heard about this former gun-carrying IRS special agent and took him from California to Washington, D.C. to debate the government about it, the IRS, the U.S. Department of Injustice, that's the government lawyers. That's right. Congress of the United States, the White House, it was President Clinton at the time, and asked him, look, come and debate Mr. Joe Banister on the legality of income tax. And then none of them did. They couldn't send one IRS employee. They wouldn't send one IRS lawyer down the street to this debate, public debate on one of them was on C-SPAN in the National Press Club, the prestigious National Press Club, which is still used today for a lot of the press announcements in Washington, D.C. It was shown on live on C-SPAN 2 on national TV back in the year 2000. The government would not send one IRS employee or wanted one lawyer to say, look, guys, here, see, here's the law. You all wet, go home. This is why everybody falls in these 1040 income tax confession forms and has to pay this money. And at one point later on, the White House, their spokesperson who talked about all this too, with the People Foundation, who put this all together, you know, told the foundation that the legality of the income tax is not a high priority item at the White House. That's it. The legality of income tax is not a high priority item at the White House, at the U.S. government. They don't care if the money of the American people is being taken legally or illegally. As long as they get the money, that's all they care. They don't care about the law. Law be damned. The U.S. Constitution be damned. We don't care about all that. We just want the money. Well, who does that? Who takes money and doesn't care if it's legal or not? A thief, an outlaw, a criminal, right? Those only people that take money without it being legal, they don't care if it's legal or not. That's what the White House said. That's been added to the IRS and the White House then, and now they have the audacity, these criminals in government, these treasonous, treacherous betrayers of the American people and the U.S. Constitution, betrayers of the oath they took to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution, they're going to be on a public hearing. All this and more is going to come out. How come would Mr. Rick Grant send all this and more to his congressmen, senators, and say, look, I'm going to give you one more chance to show me, is Mr. Joe Barrister, is he crazy? Is he lying? Is he making all this stuff up? Did he miss something, perhaps? He didn't look into the law. Show me where this former IRS gun-carrying special agent is wrong. Why does the White House says the legality of income tax is not a high priority item at the White House? What an audacious claim. And you know what? Senator Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, these two crooked criminal Zionist betrayers of American people, they didn't answer. Neither did this congressman. Oh, we're too busy collecting money from rich, powerful, moneyed special interests on Wall Street, the big banks, corporate America, drug companies, oil companies, insurance companies, anybody with lots of bucks who can help me get reelected again. We're too busy doing that and helping those people. Helping those people that pay us to be here. Than to worry about it. Piddly, little pig squeak. Who cares about ant American citizen who thinks he can call us to the carpet because we all took an oath to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Ha, ha, ha. We don't care. Many American people don't know, and they don't care. So get out of here. And instead, the government has the audacity, these criminals, to claim that Mr. Rick Grant is the criminal. But you see, folks, we're going to get Mr. Rick Grant, we'll get to talk about all this. So will I. So will Joe Bannister. Okay, we could talk about this to 12 American citizen jurors who, I bet you, 99% they have not heard of Joe Bannister or Freedom Law School before. And they're going to hear this story that I just told you with a lot more juicy details. Imagine what this jury is going to think. You have this compelling evidence, Mr. Grant, that the government is an outlaw. The government is a criminal. These politicians, these IRS employees, they are the real criminals. Yet they want to put you, a patriotic American who's doing his job as a citizen. And it is our job. It is your job and my job and Rick Grant's job to make sure our public servants in government are living up to their oath to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution. Folks, the Constitution doesn't enforce itself. We have to enforce it on our public servants in government. They work for you and me. The president, the Congress, the IRS, they all work for you and for me and Joe Bannister, Rich Grant, all the American people. And it's our job to tell our public servants when they are doing things wrong, where they are not following their job description, which is uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, above everything else. That is their job, and they're not doing it. Mr. Rick Grant asked his legislatures, his congressmen, and his two senators to follow the Constitution, investigate this issue like Drew Barrister did, and write him back and take action to make sure the income tax is being executed according to U.S. Constitution and laws. And they ignored him. They never told him you're wrong in any way because they're too busy. Well, the jury is going to see that. And the law is, if the jury believes that Mr. Grant believed that he was not required to file income tax, the judge will tell the jury, if you believe that, that Mr. Grant sincerely believed that he was not required to file income tax, you must acquit Mr. Grant. Let him go free. Given that scenario, what do you think this 12 American jurors going to do? They must, if they want to convict him, all 12 of them must be unanimous that he's guilty. If one of them says he's not guilty, they cannot convict him. But with this kind of a background of facts, of homework, preparation, and action that Mr. Grant has done, do you have any doubt that all these 12 jurors are going to find Mr. Grant innocent? He's openly said in court, agreed, I did not file and pay income tax for these tax years. He doesn't dispute that. But I had a good reason. And the reason is, I'm not required to file pay income tax. So folks, you're going to want, this is going to be the first time in history of the tax amnesty movement that anybody has been able to put the government on trial like this. Never before has this been done. You see, Joe Bannister, the government charged him in 2004 with tax crimes, and the Commission of Internal Revenue talked about him. Hey, he was one of us. He knew what he was doing. And in 2005, jury found Mr. Bannister not guilty. Innocent. But what's even more important is the fact that Mr. Joe Bannister, the government never charged him for not having filed and paid income tax for several years, even though the IRS well knew Joe Bannister had not filed and paid income tax. The government, the politicians, the top management bureaucrats in the IRS knew Joe Bannister is innocent. They knew that if they charged Joe Bannister with having not filed and paid income tax, that Joe Bannister, this former IRS special agent, would explain all this and in practice put the IRS on trial, and the jury would acquit Mr. Joe Bannister for not having filed and paid income tax charges. And that would really hurt the IRS in a big time. So the government never even charged Mr. Joe Bannister with not having filed up and paid income tax charges. They tried to get him connected to somebody else, an Al Thompson guy, who he just did file the tax return to get his money back from the IRS, and spoke at Al Thompson's company about his experience with the IRS on video with New York Times covering it publicly. They try to get Joe Bannister hooked up with this Al Thompson loose cannon guy, hoping Al Thompson would bring Joe Bannister down with him. Well, that didn't work and backfired. But this time, folks, all that will come out. And the government will be put on trial. Folks, this is the year that is a lot of stuff is going on in America, folks. We've had right now over 8 years of Great Depression in America, folks. Don't let the politicians fool you with this recession talk, folks. America is in a Great Depression right now economically, just like the 1930s Great Depression. The only difference is back in 1930s, the soup lines were lined in the streets, lined up for the soup line at the soup kitchen. Today, the soup kitchen has been transferred to government gives you food stamps by mail. They send you a food stamp. That's all. Some people just have all these social security to live on. Okay? So that's why you don't see it. And the government on the unemployment number, the only people that the unemployment rate is a fraud. They change unemployment definition to be only those people who receive unemployment checks from the government. So if after a year of unemployment check running out on you, you get nothing, you're not unemployed to the government. If you're someone who was worked on commissions, real estate agent, insurance, mortgage agent, or some other car salesman, whatever, some salesman or other thing, you don't have a job, you know, you lost that too, you're not unemployed. It's the most ridiculous definition, you know, that they got. So the real unemployment, folks, in America is about 25%, at least, if not more. 25-30%, if not more. Unemployment rate in America is high. People are waking up. It started under crooked George Bush, then under Obama, Mr. Change you can believe in, a bunch of lies. There was no change, just a face change. It continued under Obama. And after 8 years, folks, and now people are voting for Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, two grassroots candidates. They didn't go for none of those 16 Republicans. Not even Rand Paul, son of Ron Paul. He was actually one of the top people that last year that left, you know, had actually some real support. He did. But Donald Trump outvoted all of them. And Donald Trump, do you know that Donald Trump has gotten more votes than any other Republican in history of primaries? That was as of late April. By that time, he got more votes in a primary that anybody got. George Bush, Romney, McCain, anybody. He's got a lot of support behind Trump. Bernie Sanders is getting a lot of support out there for people who think government's the answer. From the socialist crowd. And Hillary Clinton, the crooked Hillary, is out there having a heck of a challenge from the grassroots people who are challenging her because they know that crooked Hillary is an establishment big Wall Street bankster agent, just like George Bush and Obama, no different. So, folks, there's going to be a lot of people in that jury who are sick, tired of lies by politicians and the people in government. They're hungry. They're waiting to hear the truth. And they will hear it. They will hear it, folks. The week of June 13th in Oakland, California, in a courtroom of Chief Judge Phyllis J. Hamilton at the U.S. District Court, 1301 Clay Street, Oakland, California. The trial is going to be like from, I think, 8:30 to 1:30 in the afternoon. And no lunch. So and no Wednesday trial either. And for I give you the court case. You don't think it exists? I'll give you the district court case. Write this down. 14 CR 005 90-PJH. You can verify it for yourself. This case is going on, trial. June 6th, the government will be jury selection. The government will present their case and fine, whatever. Doesn't matter. We have no problem with that stuff at all. But the week of June 13th is when you want to be there. The government will be put on trial. If you can be there, be there. This will be, folks, I'm promising you, the trial of decades. The trial of decades, you will not see a trial like this, folks. A victory for we the people and the U.S. Constitution in open court. So tell your friends about it. Go to our Freedom Law School's Facebook page, become a fan of Freedom Law School, and forward the post about the subject to everybody, all your friends. Put it on your Facebook page. Tell them to forward it. Email it to your friends, folks. This is how grassroots activism, action, real populist revolutions work. Is when the opportunity is right, when everything is lined up, boom, you take action. Every one of you. I suggest all of you vote for Trump. He's not perfect. He's hell of a lot better than anybody else out there by head and shoulder and waist. Okay? So vote for Trump. Tell your friends, you know, because he's going to need these crooks' money. Okay? Do that. And tell them about this, folks. This revolution is getting started. Don't just stop. We're just voting for Trump. That's not enough. Be at this trial if you can't. Be at the trial, folks. Tell your friends. And the week of 13th, folks, Freedom Law School, at nighttime, I will be giving you guys reports about this. I'm going to have a conference call on every night, give you report on what happened that day in this historic trial with the IRS and the U.S. government and the income tax will be on trial for the fraud and the liars that they are to the American people. All that logistics is going to be worked out, folks. We'll let you know about that. Just stay in touch with Freedom Law School. Okay, go to our Facebook page, our website, get on our email list. We will let you know. But right now, all you got to do is go tell your friends about all this. And I'll next week have more people calling this conference call. I will tell you guys more about it, folks. Let's get this work out there. Tell your friends to listen to this call. And they share it with other people. Share this call, folks, with your friends. So with that, folks, I want to thank each and every one of you for caring enough about America and freedom and American people and all of our rights. From your busy schedule to come on this call and listen to what's going on, listen to this call, educate and inform yourself. Thank you. So now I invite you to do the next thing I know you want to do in your heart. Go with your heart. Do what you want to do. Tell your friends, family members about it. So they don't understand. They lambast you. Doesn't matter, folks. Just get it out there. You don't know. You tell somebody, and another person on this conference call, tell that same person, your same friend and family member, and they're going to say, what? Two people told me about the same thing that I know? Wow, maybe I should look into this thing further. You get the word out there, folks, on Facebook and on internet and on email, folks. It starts getting out there. It's going to become a thing. We got 4 weeks till this trial. So, folks, thank you again for being with me. This is Peyman Motaede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School at livefreenow.org. I'll bid you a good night, and I'll be back with you again next Thursday, May 26th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. Good night.